So these are the things that we should be looking out for in ourselves if we're struggling with our mental health, but also in those around us, right? So one of those is trouble sleeping. And often this is sleeping too little, right? We know that sleep is the glue that holds everything together. So when that's off, it sets the stage for things to go downhill. We can also see a change in arousal levels. So high negative arousal, so things like agitation, irritability, are often things that we see in the period leading up to a suicidal crisis. We also see that people may be pulling away from others, right? So this might be socially we're not reaching out to people, but it can also look like things of maybe not wanting to go to work, not wanting to engage in our usual activities, pulling away from just social experiences in general. External crises may also start kind of this pathway. So things like conflict, job loss, substance use. We know that interpersonal negative events are a huge contributor to kind of setting off a suicidal crisis. That anywhere from 40 to 60% of individuals who died by suicide had an identifiable interpersonal conflict in the 24 hours prior to their death. Right, so this is a big piece for a lot of people. And then there's internal crises as well. So this is maybe getting stuck in a negative thought pattern. It might be feeling hopeless that things are never going to change or feeling trapped in your current situation. Right, so these things matter when we think about impacting those around us. So they're not going to be the same for everyone, like I said, but what we do know is that these are the most common experiences, and they can be the thing that really kind of sets the stage. So in a little bit, when we talk about asking about suicide, one of the first steps that we're going to talk about is the idea of connecting with others and noticing when something feels off. So it might be these factors that you're starting to notice in someone. So we know that when people get to this point of suicidal crisis, that actually not that many people reach out. I think there's this myth or preconceived notion that, well, if it got that bad, why wouldn't somebody just say something, right? We know that only half of people who think about suicide ever tell someone. So if we think about the fact that in the past year, 13 million individuals have thought about suicide, that means 7.5 million of them have never told anyone about these thoughts, right? So if we're just waiting for someone to disclose to us, we're potentially missing a lot of opportunities to help somebody. So I think the question is often in people's minds, well, why don't they disclose? We know that there are a lot of barriers to talking about suicide. One of those biggest barriers is fear of judgment. Right, so there's a concern that if I were to tell someone, they might think I'm crazy, they might think I'm weak, they might think I'm unstable. Right, we know that stigma around suicide is still really strong. Right, we're doing a great job as a society to try to change that, but it's still there, right? Especially when you're the one who's being vulnerable, we can become particularly tuned into that. There's also a lot of shame and guilt around having suicidal thoughts. So people might have thoughts of, well, I shouldn't feel this way. Things really aren't that bad, right? So the concern of, if I were to tell someone, what are they gonna think about me? My life isn't that bad. Look at the hardship somebody else is going through, right? So there can be a lot of this comparison in downplaying one's own experience. So we talked about there's also that worry of being a burden on others. How is someone else gonna deal with the heaviness of this if I tell them? I don't want my friends and family to have to deal with this. I don't want them to have to think about it, so I'm just gonna keep it to myself. Right? And all this really combines to this idea of having uncertainty of how people in our life are going to respond when we tell them. There's a big fear, and one of the biggest barriers to disclosure is that people are going to overreact, that they're going to panic, that they're going to call 911 and they're gonna hospitalize me. We know that's the number one barrier. And so we're going to talk a little bit about times when it's worth kind of panicking, if you will, in times that it's not.